Are you ready? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, for your grace for us. And God, I pray that you would bless this time, Lord, that as we open your word, as we read about, I think, an incredible time in the life of a man, that it would challenge us. And Lord, that it would bring us to that place where, God, we're going to go forward with you, just like we see this guy having to step out and having to trust you. Lord, I pray that the things spoken to him will touch our hearts. Lord, that we will, just like Joshua, believe your promises. And God, that at the beginning of this year, this might be something that just catapults us into that place where you want us to be. So God, we do pray that we would have ears to hear, that you would get our hearts ready, Lord, and that God, this would be a night and a time and a few minutes here just so well spent, and that we would be the people who are built up and ready to serve in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we begin here, J. Vernon McGee says an interesting thing, talking about the first five books of the Bible and then Joshua. He says in the book of Genesis, Israel was born. In the book of Exodus, Israel was chosen. In the book of Numbers, the nation was proven. In the book of Leviticus, it was brought near by the blood. In Deuteronomy, it was instructed. Now in the book of Joshua, it faces conflict and conquest. That's kind of what's going on. Listen, this is a huge, huge change that we're looking at, not just for Joshua, but for the entire nation. And something that I've found is people hate change. It is interesting how we get just so stuck in things and we don't like change. And, you know, I just think back just a couple years ago, moving from like over there to here, 20 feet, is it? It's like people freaked out. It's like, and it's like, it wasn't, I mean, even the sanctuary is pretty set up, pretty similar, just enlarged. And we don't like change, yet, isn't that what Christianity is all about? Isn't it about change? About us being changed and conformed into the image of Christ? And so, listen, as we look at Joshua, you know, sure, this is huge for him, but you got to think about this nation. For 40 years, they've had one leader. For 40 years, they've always looked to him for everything. He's been the one that's been there. Yeah, he kind of dispersed and did some things with some elders, but he's the man. Now he's dead. Man, I'll tell you what, there's got to be a little bit of anxiety going on, a little bit of freaking out going on. And I think probably Joshua is probably the scaredest. At least I would be. That would be frightening, wouldn't it? To be in his position, to be taken over. I mean, replacing somebody's difficult. And especially if it's Moses. You know, if it's somebody that's doing a really bad job, it's not so hard, right? People go, woohoo, we got somebody new. But if it's somebody like Moses, it's kind of tough. So listen to the first little bit in verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now here's what's important. Here's what we need to focus on, because this is going to be brought up again. After the death of Moses, here's what that's telling us. Everything's changing. And they need to go forward, not look backwards. You see, I think too often in our Christian lives, and especially, you know, people who don't know the Lord, we allow our past to dictate who we are now and maybe even our future. And here's what God is telling us. The past is past. We're moving forward. Moses is dead. Moses is not coming back. That is not going to happen again. You need to look forward. And some of us, there's some things that we need to get rid of because they affect us. And all of us have something there that kind of lingers, that maybe happened in school. Maybe you were that person who got picked on. Maybe you were the jock, and you still think you're a jock, and you're old and fat and can't do anything, or maybe, you know, whatever. But we need to understand, especially as Christians, we need to move past that. We need to go forward. And you and I right now have an opportunity at the beginning of a new year, you know, the beginning of going, and some of us are newer believers, but we need to go forward. We need to decide, I don't care if I did that in my past. I don't care if people made fun of me. I don't care if they locked me in my locker and I was in there for 4 hours before anybody ever found me. And, you know, none of that matters. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to live for Jesus. And I'm not going to let that stuff influence me. So first and foremost, he is dead. Moses is dead. That's not going to change. And so we need to do that. And then it says, after the death of the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So once again, God reminds him, he's dead. It's time to go forward. It's time to change. It's time to move on. It's time for you, Joshua, to take over. And then he says, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. So now, God tells Joshua it's time to move. Listen, Joshua's already been introduced way back to the people as the one who's taken over. They kind of know that. But I personally think, what a difficult thing to do now being Joshua taking over for Moses. It's hard. It's hard, especially in the spiritual realm, in churches. Hey, I came to this church. I wasn't the founding pastor of this church. I came after the founding pastor was here. When he left on good terms, it wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't stuff. He went to teach at the Bible college. I came and took his place. It's hard, man. When you're stepping into somebody else's place, they have been the leader. They have been the one who planted it. They did everything. Everything looked to them. Now they're going. Now you're coming. Some people are going to measure you according to them. That's just going to happen. Joshua's got it now kind of in some people's eyes. He's got to live up to Moses. That's huge. The guy I replaced wasn't quite as good as Moses. Close, but not quite. But taking over for somebody, moving into that place, moving into that situation is a very difficult thing to do. So God is going to spend a few verses here really encouraging Joshua, because I think Joshua maybe is the most freaked out about this situation, about what is going on. I'm not sure he's externally freaking out, but I think internally, man, it's got to be churning and stuff. Oh, by the way, Joshua's 80 plus years old. Some people say 88. I don't know if 88's accurate, but he's over 80. Because we know that he was 40 when he went in to spy out the land 40 years ago. Not 40 years ago real time, 40 years ago time we're reading, okay? So we know he's over 80. Now think about something, because I think especially, and this is no offense, and if you're a little older, don't get too mad, but I think especially older people hate change. And we shouldn't be that way, should we? Older people should enjoy it. Notice I said we. But I'm not old, I'm just trying to identify with the older people. But it should be, and here's the thing that I kind of read in this first chapter, and Caleb's not mentioned, but I think the two people the most excited about chapter 1 of Joshua and the change are Joshua and Caleb. Because God says, you're going to go into the land. 40 years they've been waiting to do that. 40 years ago, they were ready to go in. And now 40 years later, woo, man, I think they're going, change is good now, because they remember what they saw. They remember what was there. Hey, they weren't the ones freaked out by all of the external stuff. They remember the promises of God. And so I think they're pretty excited. So God says, listen, you're going to take in there. And then verse 3, check out verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. So here's what God is telling them. You go in, you take the land, and every place you go, I'm going to give you. That's a promise from God. Actually, God makes three promises. He tells them, number one, that they're to cross over and they're to go into the land and take the land. Number two, he tells them that they're going to defeat all their enemies. Number three, he tells them they're going to possess the land. All right here, God has given them three promises, and we'll look at in a moment, all three promises were fulfilled by God. So here's what he says. You go in, wherever you go, it's yours. I kind of like that idea, don't you? God is saying, get up and go for it. And he promises them that. And then he says, in verse 4, he describes it. He says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now, somebody has said, as they look at what's described here and what was described earlier, that it's about, God promises them about 300,000 square miles. About the size of Texas. You know how much they possessed ever? Ever? About 30,000 square miles. Think about that. Think of God just now told them, here's where you go, you go take everything, and they only ever possess 10%. That's kind of heartbreaking, isn't it? That's kind of a bummer. And God says, here's what I'm promise you everything. I'm giving you everything. And they're willing to settle for so much less. Let me read to you Ephesians 1:3, because some of us get down on them. Let me read to you Ephesians 1:3. This is us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. How much of that are we possessing? Most of us don't even possess 10% of that. We say Israel's a bummer for not believing God. God just says to us, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, don't take that into the material world. Just keep it in the spiritual realm. Every spiritual blessing is ours, a promise from God. Why don't we possess it? Because we're a lot like Israel. We kind of love the promises. We kind of love to read about it. We kind of love to look at it. We kind of even love to jot it down. 300 square miles, that's kind of cool. But taking possession of it, that's a whole different story. You see, because we let the enemy talk us out of so much, don't we? He comes in and he says the stupidest things to us, and we go, okay, you can't do that, you can't do this, or you can do that, or you can go this direction, or, you know, you can compromise in this area. It's okay, it's just a little bit of a compromise. Go ahead and do it. You'll be fine. Wow. So he says, you get all of this. This is all yours. God says, wherever you go, wherever you put your feet, here's the description, because I don't think they could walk that far. And then look at even verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. No one can defeat you. Here's what God says. In essence, right now, you go in, you take that land, you're indestructible. Just go do it. Now, here's the crazy thing. God gives them definite promises, and I believe God is sovereign, but I also believe God says, now you get up and you go. You got to put your own self in it. You can't just sit on one side of the Jordan saying, that's mine. You have to take action. God gives us promises. We have to take action. And I love it. He says, no man can stand before you. And then God said, I'm always going to be with you, always. And some of us tonight are saying, well, if God was with me, then I'd be able to do those things. Let me read to you the Bible. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you sometimes. Always. And Jesus even says, even to the end of the age. We got the same promises. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Lo, I am with you always. Oh, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way in 13:5. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Well, that's kind of cool, isn't it? So listen, as we look at these guys, as they're on the crest of something intense and is something amazing, so are we. All we have to do is trust God. Believe God. And I think one of the greatest things we're going to learn in a moment, don't be content. Don't be content staying on the other side of the Jordan like 2.5 tribes. Don't be content with that. That could be good, but don't you want the best? I want the best. You know, it's kind of like whenever I'm out and about in different places and we'll go sometimes. Did you ever go into the gelato shops or ice cream shops? It's usually gelato for me, and they have, you know, like flavors. And, you know, some people go in and get vanilla. I think, how stupid is that? And I always pick the weirdest one they have. I've had pepper gelato. Oh, it's delicious. It's olive oil and pepper gelato. It was so good. And I got on top of it salt, so I could have a salt and pepper ice cream cone. It was so good. And see, some of us were going, that is insane. You just get vanilla when you could have the best. You could have the best. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, it's all yours. I've given you every spiritual blessing. All you have to do is believe me. And here's the crazy thing, and I will never leave you, ever. I'll never forsake you. I'm not going to hang you out to dry. I'm not going to take you so far and dump you. Why don't we do that? Why don't we go with him? Oh, because we believe the enemy. When the enemy says, oh, you can't, remember, you're the one they locked in the locker. You're the doofus. You're the one nobody picked. You were the scrawny one or whatever. Whatever the case may be, and we believe the enemy. And he's going, no, you, not you. God would never do that for you. God would never take you there. Come on, Christian. And so they have this tremendous challenge. Now listen, it can be scary, and I think he's scared. So check out what God says. Be strong and of good courage for this people. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So he's telling Joshua, listen, God's an encourager. Have you picked up on that? Be strong and courageous. He says, you go, I'll be with you. I'm not going to leave you. You be strong and you be courageous. He goes, because I've given this land and you're going to go divide it to these people. There's the last of the three promises. You're going to go get the land. You're going to defeat the people. I'm going to give you this. Now check it out. He did all of this. In chapters 2-5, they're going to enter the land. This is kind of an outline for Joshua. And chapters 6-12, they're going to have victory over their enemies. And then in chapters 13-23, they're going to divide the land up to the tribes. It's going to happen. And you know what Joshua says? Listen, at the end of his life, in Joshua 24, listen what Joshua says. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. In other words, he's dying. Now check out what he says. I love this. And you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which your Lord your God spoke concerning you. Here's what he's saying. Chapter 1 is just as true at the end of my life as it was in the beginning of going in. Here's what Joshua says. God did not fail me. Not one good thing. You know what that tells me? Joshua tested God. Joshua went for it. He didn't sit on the sidelines. He didn't wait. He didn't do things. He was willing to go for it. And he says, I'm going out. I'm going to do that. And I just love that. Listen, all good things. And then he says this. He says, not one thing has failed of all the good things which your Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Woo-hoo! So that's the book of Joshua. Now we can kind of dig in and read some stuff, but that's kind of encouraging, isn't it, as we think of our own lives? So we do need to be courageous. We need to go do that. Now check out, listen, God doesn't tell us or Joshua, just be courageous and just go, because some of us don't know how to be courageous, do we? Some of us are, you know, you've heard that saying, some of us are fighters, some of us are flighters. You know, in a critical situation, what do? Are you a fighter? Are you a flighter? I got to be honest with you. I tend to book. Things get real hairy. You can ask my wife. Things get real bad on our honeymoon. I'm not going to tell you the details, but you're going to ask her some details. It was like, pew, I was so gone. I was gone so fast she didn't even feel me leave. Kind of embarrassing, but it's true. That's what some of us are. But listen to this. I'm not going to let that define who I am today. But some of us have no idea how to be courageous. And by the way, I didn't flight because I'm not courageous. I ran because I was very courageous. But how do you be courageous? How do you do what God just told him to do? Do you understand what God just told him to do? You need to go in, you need to cross this river, and you need to dispossess all those people that are there. Joshua saw them, remember? Joshua saw the cities. Joshua knows exactly what he's facing. He didn't have to figure it out. He didn't have to go check it out. He knows what's there. I want you to go do all that, and I'm going to be with you, and you just need to be courageous. Well, Lord, that's good, but how can I be courageous? How can I be courageous in my spiritual battle with the enemy and go forward? Listen, by the way, I don't think the book of Joshua and going into the promised land is a type of us going to heaven. Because when you get in the promised land, there's a lot of fighting, there's a lot of conquering, there's some fear, there's some sin. None of that takes place in heaven. Listen, I think the book of Joshua is about being born again and going on your Christian journey and on your Christian life. And we face those things, and there's things we face in our life and obstacles and conflicts and fear and all that that goes on. So how can I be courageous as a Christian to go on with my Christian life to be victorious? Listen, he says, now verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Notice two times he's told him so far, you need to be courageous, only be strong. And now he says, very courageous, that you might observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. So here's what he says. You need to be strong. How can I be strong? Bottom line, here's what God says. He says to him, you can be strong and courageous in a very simple way, by trusting my word. When he says, believe all that Moses told you in the law or gave you in the law, listen, God isn't laying the law down. God is saying, remember everything in there. Remember what took place. That's going to give you courage. What did take place? They got delivered from Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They've gone through all of the miracles, all of the things for 40 years. He says, you keep that in mind. You do that. And then he says in verse 8, this book of the law, listen, we'll continue in a moment, but that kind of blows my mind. This book of the law shall not depart. Listen, the scholars say that Moses could have not written the first five books of the New Testament because writing hadn't been refined yet and yada, 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 and they go on and on and on. Then how can God tell Joshua to not let that book of the law depart from his mouth if it wasn't a book of the law and if it wasn't available? You know what? You know how much of the book of the law he had? He had the first five books of the Bible. Listen, you could read your Bible. You could read your whole Bible every day instead of every year. You could have a daily reading plan. We're going to read our Bible today. Well, maybe it'd take you more than a day. Five books is all you had. And here's what God says to Joshua, and I think even to us. Those five books, if you hide those in your heart, you don't let them depart from your mouth, they can do some incredible things in your life. Listen, too many times as Christians, here's what we say, it's the Old Testament, it's the law, I don't need to know that, I'm under grace. Hey, we just got through studying Deuteronomy, it's pretty powerful, wasn't it? It's all about the love of God and how good God is. You get those five books, you start hiding them in your heart, you start paying attention. Right now, we're in Genesis, right? Reading through the Bible in a year? Okay, two of us are doing it. Hallelujah. Listen, we have that now. It's there. We can begin to hide it in our heart. And he says, listen, he says, first he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, it's kind of interesting. He says, don't let it depart from your mouth. And then he says, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, as we think about that, listen, first he says, don't let it depart from your mouth. Here's what that's telling me. You need to, do you ever talk to your Bible? I do. I talk to my Bible a whole bunch. I tell my Bible sometimes, I don't have a clue of what you're saying. But do you ever talk to your Bible, back to your Bible? Do you ever use your Bible to talk to your Bible? You see, or do you just ever go through the day kind of mumbling scripture to yourself, kind of going over it? Listen, that's what he's talking about. It needs to be with us, man. You know, when you're taking your shower, just go over what you just read, you know, as your quiet time, and you're in there and just start talking. Start saying the Bible. Say verses. Memorize verses. Go over them. Don't memorize them just so you can be a parrot Memorize them so they don't depart from your mouth, because when you begin to do that, it gets in you and it becomes part of you. And then he says to meditate on it. Listen, when God says to meditate, he doesn't mean cross your legs and hum. Meditating, especially Old Testament, especially this Hebrew word, means more like chew on it for a while. So you need to, again, go over and over your mind. But he says, listen, you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How can I be courageous? How can I defeat the enemy? How can I have the life that God wants for me to have? I need to get his word in me. Why do we tell this body over and over and over every year? Read through your Bible. Read through your Bible. We got to get it in. And then, listen, he says we can be prosperous and successful. He's not talking about you can become a Fortune 500 company. When he says prosperous and successful, he's not talking about that. He's talking about your spiritual life, the most important thing you possess. And he says, this is for you, Joshua. Listen, if it was important for Joshua as he's getting ready to take these people into the promised land, don't you think it's just as important for us? But how can we do it? How can it really happen? Come on, Pat, do you think I really can change that much? You think that can really happen? Absolutely, I do. I've seen my own life change. I've seen other people's lives change. I've got to witness people's lives. God is so powerful. He's so huge. He's so big. Do you remember in Luke chapter 1, remember when Gabriel came to Mary? It's Christmas time, kind of. I remember he told her she's going to get pregnant. And Mary went, "You're nuts, Gabe." And she couldn't figure out how it was going to happen. Remember? She's freaking out. Listen, sometimes we think the Bible people like had it totally together. This girl was scared out of her mind. I'm sure she was. Listen, if an angel appeared to you at 15 years old and said, "You're going to be pregnant," would you go, "Okay, sounds good to me"? It's bizarre. It was no less bizarre 2,000 years ago than it's bizarre now. And she's like a little worried. And then she says, how can it be? I don't understand how that can happen. Do you remember what Gabe told her? It's a short verse. You can memorize it. It's verse 37. He said, "With God, all things are possible." How can you and I change? How can we possess those spiritual blessings out of Ephesians 1:3? How can we have every spiritual blessing? With God, all things are possible. We need to remember that. We need to hang on to that. Nothing is impossible when God is on our side. I love the old evangelists. Many of them said, "You and God are always a majority. You can win." And so, listen, he sets him up. Now, what do you do as Joshua? How do you move on? What's the next step? I love what Joshua does. He gets the leaders together in verse 10, and then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Now, don't read on. Look up. Because this is kind of exciting. Listen, you're getting ready. What are you getting ready to do? You're going to cross a river. All of you are not looking up. Okay. You're getting ready to cross a river. You're getting ready to go to battle. You got some logistics to work out. Now listen, some people go, "Oh, the Jordan River." When we go to Israel and you see the Jordan River, the San Pedro looks really awesome compared to the Jordan River. So people go, "It's the Jordan River, man. You could walk across, you could jump across the Jordan River." I don't think the Jordan River was the same then as it is now, because we're going to read in a moment when they cross it. So listen, God has just laid verses 1 through 9 out to you. You're going to gather your leaders together. What are you going to tell them? Are you going to have a vote on what to do? "Hey, let's form some committees, figure out how we're going to cross this river. Maybe get a group and decide how can we conquer the land. Let's strategize a little bit. Some of you are better than I am at that. So, you're going to do that." Maybe you would be thinking, can we build bridges, boats? What are we? I mean, there's a lot of logistics to think about when you really get down to the nitty-gritty. Oh, and probably the last thing is, you probably need, in spite of what's going on in our country today, guns and ammo. Only I know they didn't have guns. But you're getting ready to go to war. Major war. Major conflict. So what do you get together and say? I love what he says. Listen, he gets his guys together and he says, pass through the camp and command the people saying, prepare food for yourselves. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? It doesn't say prepare boats. It doesn't say prepare weapons. It doesn't say prepare armor. It says get some food together. Now here's the crazy thing. They've been fed every day by God. Right? Manna's come down from heaven. I think Joshua's thinking, we're going to cross that river and there can be no more manna. We're not going to get up every morning and collect our food. So he says, get provisions, get things together. And then he says, for within 3 days, you will cross over this Jordan to go possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Don't you love that? No committee. Not gathering a group together to seek advice. Sometimes that's good. But you know what? Sometimes God gives us our word. We need to just go. And we need to act on what he's shown us. And we need to go forward. And listen, there are times where people are going to say, you're nuts. Maybe like this time, Joshua. What did Joshua just say? In 3 days, we're crossing that river. And we're going to go take the land. Well, what'd you tell us to get? Food? Let's get some food. Let's march across the river. Shouldn't we get some rocket launchers? And no, let's just trust God. God told us we're going to do it. Let's just go do it. Now, again, not to the sense where we're naive and presumptuous, but when you know God's showing you something, when you know it's from Him, act on it. Here's what I found in my life, and I've watched others. When you act on it, no matter how things seem to others, you're always blessed. When you don't act on it, you will always regret that. Always. Joshua says, let's go. Oh, and then he gets the guys. These guys aren't my favorite tribes. He gets the people who are going to stay on the other side. Remember they came? Do you guys remember in our study? Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh, remember they came and they told Moses, we want to stay on this side because the land is good. It's great for our livestock. It's great for... Listen, they were more interesting in building a living than building a life. Keep that in mind. Everything's good here. Everything's fine here. We're comfortable here. We're going to stay here. Hey, we'll go fight for you, but we're going to come back to here because here, we have a guarantee. There, we don't. Bottom line, that's what they're saying. And listen, when you refuse to trust God and settle for second, you're going to be eating vanilla all your life. You'll never know what pepper and salt and pepper tastes like in ice cream, ever. So he says, listen, he goes to these guys. These guys just bum me out. They just are, bummers for me. Oh, by the way, when Jesus goes to the Gadareans, that's kind of the Gadareans. Kind of sound like the Gadareans. What are they doing? They're herding pigs. You compromise, it's a slippery slope. So, anyway, look. He says, and to the Reubenites, the Gadites, in verse 12, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and giving you this land. So he says, listen, I know the deal you made, and I'm not going to renege on that deal. That's a deal. You're going to stay here. And I know, but you made a promise. And he's calling them out on a promise, verse 14, your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed all your mighty men of valor and helped them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God has given them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Now here's what's kind of a scary thing. When you go back, you can go back and do the figures. And you know, listen, these guys at the beginning had 139,000 plus fighting men. You know how many cross over? 40,000. That slippery slope. Not all 139,000 go, 40,000 go. That's kind of sad, isn't it? That's kind of a bummer when you read about that and you look at that. So now they're there, and listen, eventually, by the end of this book, there's a rift between them, between these guys and the other guys. Why? Well, because it's too far to go all the way over there to worship God. You know, that's too far. We don't want to have to go that far. We're on the other side of the Jordan. We have to cross the Jordan every time we have to do that. We're on our own side of the Jordan. You know what we'll do? Bummer, bummer, bummer. So, number one, tonight, let's all decide we're going on the other side of the Jordan. You know, I liken these guys to those of us who want one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. We kind of want to be both places. Your feet, your legs aren't that long, number one. You have to do the splits and get ripped in half. But quit doing that. You know, here's the crazy thing. When we get born again, some people, you know, they like taste it and they do it and then they kind of go back and they're horrible sinners. Some of you have backslid. You know, you're not good at sinning. You're horrible at it. And you're not really great at being a saint because you're not committed. And you're kind of in the middle of nowhere and you're the most miserable person in the world. Give it up and go all the way in. Go all the way with Jesus. So Moses tells them, this is what's going to happen. You and your fighting men, you go, you're going to do it, and you're going to take care of them. So all Joshua does is remind them what they promised and kind of call them out and make sure they're still going to be part of it. And then in verse 16, it says, so they answered Joshua. Now listen, I think that they here, and most commentaries agree with this, I think that they here are the leaders of these guys, but also the leaders of the other tribes. I think this is all the leaders he got together, not just those 2.5 tribes. I think this is everybody coming to Joshua, all right? So they answered him because he told them to make provisions and he singled these guys out. So they answered Joshua saying, all that you commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. So these guys, they're going, woohoo, man, they're ready. Because sometimes, listen, sometimes right on the edge, people are kind of excited. You kind of get them pumped up a little bit. Woohoo, we're going to go. And then they tell Joshua this. This is kind of crazy. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so also we will heed you. Have you read Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy? I'm thinking that's not such a good deal. They didn't heed Moses worth beans. As a matter of fact, they complained about him most of the time. They didn't want to follow him. They wanted to chuck him. They wanted a new leader. And here's what they promised Joshua. Just like we followed Moses, we're going to follow you, bro. At that point, I think I would say I quit. Isn't it strange how committed we can get in a moment? And in two more moments, we can get so uncommitted to the same thing. We're going to follow you just as we followed Moses. Listen, I don't think they meant it bad, but that's the way I understand it. And then they say, listen, I love this part because it's kind of a prayer for Joshua from them. Only the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses. At the end of verse 17, listen, they're committed. They're going, man, we want God to be with you just as he was with Moses. We want to see that happen. And we're going to go forward and we're going to fight and we're going to do great things. And as long as it doesn't get too tough or too difficult or too hard, and as long as you let us do whatever we want, we're with you. Because I've read the rest of the book of Joshua. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. Oh, and then, look at this, man. These guys are super committed. Verse 18. Whoever rebels against your command, and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Wow, these guys are like bringing out the big one, aren't they? Capital punishment if you don't obey Joshua. Now, listen, if they brought that out for Moses, none of those guys would be there to talk to Joshua because they'd all be dead. They're like committed to this thing. And, you know, sometimes, listen, sometimes in the midst of circumstances, I think Moses just dying. They've seen all that. They know that Moses had to die before they go in. They kind of have a view of the land. They're right on the edge. It's been 40 years. They're kind of real committed now. And sometimes we get that way, but we're not committed. We're not committed to what the Lord is doing. We're kind of committed to maybe just a group, kind of, you know, a crowd. We got to be committed to what God wants to do. We got to be going forward that way. Now, I do like the end of this. Listen at the end. Once again, they tell Joshua, only be strong and of good courage. Four times in chapter 1, Joshua is told to be strong and of good courage, or very courageous. It comes up over and over and over. What does that tell you? Now, some people go, it tells me Joshua wasn't very courageous. I'm not sure that was the case. Come on, he had already done some military stuff. He went and spied out the land and came back and wanted to go in and get it. He ran a few skirmishes and led the army a few times. He's kind of been involved. It's not like he's totally naive to any of that. Plus, he's 88 years old. What has he got to lose? Why does it keep coming up? Well, I think because of what they're facing. They're facing the greatest thing in their lives, personally and nationally. And you know what it takes to face that? Courage. As Christians, more than any other time, I believe in history, at least the history of this country, do we need to be strong and of good courage. And we need to heed the same thing because, listen, I think we're on the edge of something. And, you know, my personal opinion is Jesus is going to come back. As long as that last Gentile gets saved, and if you're here tonight, please do it. But we need to be strong and of good courage. We don't need to back down from what we believe. We don't need to try and wrap it up in a nice little package and make nice with it. We need, just as much as Joshua, we need to be strong and of good courage. And we need to be very courageous. And we need to hide his word in our hearts. It needs to be in us because then we will be strong and of good courage. But if you're not spending time with the Lord and you're not spending time in his word and you're not hanging out close with his people, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get swept up in a tide because there's a huge tide going through our nation. And you're going to get swept up in that and you're going to end up in a place where you don't want to be. Christians, now is the time. And we need to be really serious about that, just as these guys. Listen, I think nationally, we're on the brink of something huge. And we need to be ready. But individually, we need to be ready. As a church, let's go. Let's go forward. Why on earth would you want to stay on the other side of the Jordan? It's stinky over there. Why on earth would you want to eat vanilla when you could have salt and pepper? Why? Why would you do that? So my challenge, let's go for it. We're here, the beginning of the year. Let's do it, man. Let's all jump in with both feet. Let's don't look back. And here's the thing. Once again, Ephesians chapter 1, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. So let's don't just sit on our laurels and count our blessings. Let's go out and possess our blessings. And let's go forward. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you so much tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word, and God, we just thank you for the challenge that's found here in in Joshua, Lord. And God, it's kind of easy to write this off as something that Lord deals with somebody else or doesn't have anything to do with with us. But God, how powerful is this idea that you Lord, have taken us just as you've taken Israel. And God, you've placed your Spirit in us. And you've brought us to that place where you have told us, go in and possess that life. It's yours. Everything about it, everything there is yours. And God, sometimes as Christians, we get busy trying to argue over the minutia of crazy things. And we forget the big, we forget the grand. We settle for 10% of what you have for us and walk away from the 90%. God, I pray that now, right now, tonight, standing here, God, you would give us that same commission that we would go and we would possess the land and we would go and, just like you told the disciples a couple thousand years ago, to make disciples of all nations. And we would teach them. And Lord, whether it's our neighbors, whether it's our children, God, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a stranger on the street, that we would be busy about making disciples of all nations. And that we would remember wherever we go, you're there with us. We would depend on that. We'd rely on that. And God, we would be like the beginning here of Israel. We'd go in, we'd march across that, and we would go for it. And Lord, we'd be like Joshua at the end of his life, proclaiming at the end of our days that God has not withheld one good thing ever. And that would be our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.